Hey, hi, everyone. Oh, hi, it's me. That's Taylor Swift, so that's not 70s or 80s, but I'm still going to use it. Welcome to the fourth episode of In No Particular Order. And we are going to mock draft 70s and 80s bands, using that term very loosely, so it could be like a singular person mock drafting. We have like an overlay of wonderful, wonderful guests today. Ralph Dixon, whose topic it is.
Will... Yeah, me.
Yep, it's you. And then, of course, from the Monday night, the gang is halfway back together again. We have the wonderful Kyle Sinra, who apparently has walk-on music for his other Dynasty Gambit, which we don't have, but it's okay. I'm not bitter about it. And then we have...
You could be like Dan and complain about not having music. And then...
I am going to...
Because he's the only one who isn't here from the Monday Night Crew. So that's right. Our way of getting him in, the complaint.
The author of this wonderful book, the Doc. The Doc himself. Yes.
Sure. Everybody's got it.
Yeah. Everybody. Do you have it, Ralph? Amazon, Ralph.
It kind of sucks to not have injuries suck, but your fantasy team doesn't have to.
I know.
And so you should all get it today.
The other author, Terry Tyler, wrote this children's book. And if you don't have kids, you can still get it. It's not really pervy to do that.
When did that come out?
Come out and play.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister's an author. And she has like a crazy voice today. So if you want to make her talk, that's cool with me. Like when she told me her voice was bad, the first thing I did was call her.
Called me.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? It sounds like something to do. All right. So before we start, we have one question that everyone needs to answer. When was the last time you laughed at literally, like it had to be literally laughed out loud? We'll go Doc first, because I was gonna say your outfit, but I'm not even gonna do that.
But what are you talking about? I dress like this all the time. Like this is my normal dress.
So I make my rounds.
No, so you mean laugh out loud, like real laugh out loud, not when you like text somebody LOL and you're like just sitting there stone faced, like not actually laughing.
No, laugh out loud.
Okay, so the last time I laughed out loud was actually yesterday. My 7-year-old niece had a variety show at her school, and I couldn't make it, unfortunately. But my wife took a video, and it was her up on stage with the rest of her class, and they were dancing to Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. And like the thing that was perfect about it was there's this like cute little 7-year-old girl, like no, like not self-conscious at all, like just completely free, like how we should all do it, right? Like just completely in the moment, dancing her little heart out. And then at the end, like for a little bit of flair, she took her hat off and threw it up in the air as like the curtains are closing, and one of the other kids tried to grab it, and she just like pushed them out of the way with one hand, she cut it with the other, and like the curtain closed, and I was like, oh my god, that's perfect. And it just made me laugh out loud.
That's my niece. I love her.
Yeah,
I was curtain closed on that kid, that's for sure.
Exactly. Hey, listen. Yeah. He, what do they say? Mess around and find out, right?
Ralphie.
I saw a clip earlier today of like somebody, I think it was like a Coward, talking about Will Levis and his like photos of me like really jacked. And I just saw in the bottom someone wrote, he's just jealous of his guns. And I was like, I don't know why. I just thought it was really funny.
How did I know yours was going to be a sports thing? I don't even know. I just knew it was going to be a sports thing. Kyle.
So when I interpreted this, I like laugh out loud, like your guts hurting afterwards type thing. And
it was
one of the times I remember this recently was watching American Psycho for the first time. I'd waited a while before watching it. And the scene in the washroom, it just gets to you every time. Well, every time, I only seen it once. It just got me when he, you know, after he tries to, I won't spoil it for anyone, but, and he fails. Yeah, he's like, he's all freaked out and he's kind of almost out of his element. Like a guy that's been so in control up to this point, and he's so freaked out that he starts washing his hands with the gloves on them. I just found that the funniest thing ever, that this guy that, you know, alpha male, this allure of, you know, he's superior to all these other superior business guys that he's with. And it just like, you know, he's always cool. He's always able to succeed. And in the moment he can't, can't there, and he just, it just like freaks him out so much that he's almost like unaware of, wait, why am I washing my gloves with soap and water? Like it just seemed very funny to me.
Did you guys get nervous when Kyle said the thing that made him laugh out loud was American Psycho?
Exactly. I did.
Silence where we're like, yes. I really am scared about what part of the movie he thought was hilarious, but he redeemed himself at the end, so that's good. So, yeah.
And I think part of it is the unexpected nature. Like, I didn't expect to see something that hilarious in the movie, so when it did, it really caught me. Like, you know, you watch a funny movie, you expect to have to laugh, so it maybe ruins it just a little bit because you're expecting a joke to come at some point. But that just shocked me completely. So
Terry,
mine was yesterday also, and I was online with my sign language people, and on church on Sunday, one of us was signing, and she was a tiny little girl, and they had an altar call, and they don't normally, and people actually started to come up. And she would move over and sign, and then more people, until she was like lost in the fray. But she kept trying to sign, and all you could see were her little hands because she was a short. Finally, she sat down. But we thought it was funny because we said she was like the band on the Titanic. She was just going to keep going until.
But then. What an appropriate way to transition to talking about bands now. Oh, man. Not dramatic at all.
Oh, no, not at all. All right. So mine was last week. Terry was in the hospital because she had high blood pressure. And I was looking at cat memes. And there's this one cat meme. It has this little kitten. And it said, I don't know if anyone's told you this today. And then on the bottom, it said, you're a whore. No one loves you. And so I sent it to her, and I thought I was sending just that cat meme to her, and in fact I was sending all of them, and she sent that one back to me. I'm like, right, perfect.
As I was scrolling like, through it,
I was like, who else can I send this to? This is the greatest thing ever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was great. That's
so you were concerned when I said American Psycho. Is no one concerned that Gladys, the first thing she said was when my sister was in the hospital.
You guys, I didn't realize. I know it's late, but you guys are going dark, man. I didn't realize you were going blue today.
She's
but,
fine.
That's the off season. Doc season was in season, but off season we got
Gladys after dark is a whole different animal.
She's fine. Look at her. She's perfect. It's okay. Okay, so we're gonna start the mock draft. But if you're on Twitter and you want to join in the conversation, we cannot see your tweets. I don't know why. I'm blaming it on Musk, but I'm pretty sure it happened way before he took over Twitter.
Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah, when they got rid of Periscope, whoever that brilliant idea that was.
Okay, just burst my bubble. That's fine. Whatever.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
No, right. Maybe it was Musk. We're blaming on Elon Musk. Influencing from behind without actually being in charge. Who knows?
So
billionaire like.
Exactly. Nature. That's what he's doing. So the mock is 70s and 80s bands. Say seven round snake draft. And up first is our ever-present guest, Ralphie D.
All right. So I'm going to go first. Queen.
Fuck. Yep. I mean, ooh, sorry.
I like, because the thing about Queen is like, they were kind of like with the Beatles were when they would like try different genres, but you still felt like it was the same, like people making it, you know what I mean? So if they could do like a blues song or maybe like a more like vaudeville kind of like show tunesy song or something like that, you know, it still felt like Queen made it though.
Queen is a valid choice, and I kind of hate you for taking it, so thanks. What's pretty up, sure Jay?
I got the shirt.
Flash Gordon album. Yeah, exactly. They were afraid
to
experiment.
Like, oh, the
right?
Flash. I like the Flash of CW. I'm like, no, man, Flash Gordon, it's a movie.
Wait, what?
What? Terry.
Flash, the superhero.
Also, shout out to Gladys's other co-host on the Monday on the 2-point conversion on the Monday nights. It's no longer Doc and I and Dan; it's Gladys and Jay. So, shout out to Jay for joining us.
Yeah, Jay. At least he's out of the doghouse. That's all I care about.
Yes, indeed.
Terry,
I'm going with the Jackson 5 Hall of Fame. Are they 80s? 1997. Yeah,
no, 70s.
70s and 80s. Yeah, 70s, you 80s. Said 70s and 80s.
I did.
They started. Yeah. In 69, but most of their music were in the 70s, 80s.
All right, Jackson 5, look at you pulling that out. Kyle.
High five, Terry. So I'm going to go with my absolute favorite band of all time. They're a progressive rock band. I don't know if that's what you were talking about earlier, alluding to Gladys, but the band is called Yes. And to be a lot, I'm a guitar player, so lead guitarist and bass player. If you could give me, like, if those are usually my favorite member of every band, and this is one of the hardest bands to decide because Steve Howe and Chris Squire in those roles respectively are just incredible. And,
Roundabout.
Yeah, well, that is my favorite album, is Fragile. And the idea that you get five musicians each composing their own solo songs, but then also coming together, making group songs like Roundabout, South Side of the Sky. Yeah, but Steve Howe's my favorite guitarist ever. So Mood for a Day on that album is incredible. His solo playing is great. I've seen them live. Actually played The Clap live, which is another one of his solo classical style pieces. So incredible guitarist, influenced by classical guitar, jazz, Spanish music, and kind of all putting together in a rock sense. He's incredible. Chris Squire on bass, incredible, and great singers. I think the one thing all three bands so far, I think the importance of great lead singer, but also harmonies and like the voice carrying such an important part, no matter how many instruments you have. I think that's going to be key, and it's probably going to be a theme through a lot of our bands.
Not when you get to the number five pick, but go ahead. Doc.
All right. So really good choices there. I was wondering if I was going to get sniped since I'm towards the end of the round here, but I'm going to go with a band that was formed in Boston in 1970. So just kind of got it in under the wire there. Too many hits to name. Some of my favorites: Sweet Emotion, Dream On, Love in an Elevator, Dude Looks Like a Lady. And of course, they got really popular in the 90s with the movie Armageddon, with the lead singer's daughter and one of our greatest living American actors, none other than Mr.
Ben Affleck. Not Bruce Willis, right? Yeah.
And well, Bruce Willis as well.
But Bruce Willis.
Yeah. That's right. See, it's like, you know, throw you a curveball there. And this was actually the first concert that I ever went to. It was Aerosmith, and that's my first round pick.
Valid pick. Long
way to walk that way, Doc.
That's right.
Kyle, I have not missed that at all.
Trust me, I got more toys in the attic.
Oh, God. All right. What up, Jamie? My first one is going to be Blondie. Rapture, mainly because she's longstanding, but Rapture. What's wrong? You had Blondie? There's no way you had Blondie. Terry, you had Blondie? Okay, I find that hard to believe.
I did.
I don't want to talk about it.
I did. 1974, okay. New Yorkers.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. It was the first rap to not take from someone else. It was original rap, and Blondie did it on Rapture. That is why I picked Blondie. And backing that up with the Sugar Hill Gang as my comeback, nice. Because Rapper's Delight was the first rap to hit the Billboard Top 100, baby.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good pick.
And I love Rapper's Delight.
They reference the Knicks.
Oh, okay. Whatever. The Knicks, that is not why I picked them.
That was the last time they won a championship, you know?
This thing about the Knicks, apparently.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Wow.
73.
Wow. And yeah. Look at you, still a long-standing fan. Look at you.
Because when I was a kid, they were good, you know? They had John Starks.
Patrick Ewing era.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they sucked for the Knicks like 20 years. And now they're getting good again. You just got to wait it out.
Are they though?
they're always teasing their
oh, no, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna be great now.
No, we're gonna be good.
We're gonna be good.
We'll see.
Doc, it's your turn again.
So back to me. So this is an example of playing the board. So this definitely could have been my first round pick, but I figured that I would take a shot and see if we could get them to slip to the second round. So for those of you that don't know, I'm from New Jersey. And anybody that recognize my Scott Fishbowl logo from last year would recognize this guy. So it's going to be Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. It really doesn't get any more New Jersey than that.
That's right. I was thinking something else, to be honest. Like, but yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah, so a funny story about that. So the song Born to Run, I guess back in, I think it was in the 80s, they actually contemplated making that the New Jersey State song. And I think we talked about it on either Kyle's show or the Monday Night Show, where there's a lyrics, baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. it's a suicide rap. We got to get out while we're young. So I don't know if anybody that wanted to make that the state song really listened to the lyrics, but it kind of exemplifies the complicated relationship that most people from New Jersey have with their home state. And it was my wife and I are actually going to a Bruce Springsteen concert in a couple of weeks. I've never got a chance to see him live, and this is going to be my first, probably my first and last time. But we're really looking forward to that. So that's my second round pick. Could have been my first round pick, but I played the board and I won. So now I got a solid foundation going into the later rounds, I think.
In alphabetical order, Aerosmith, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, there you go.
They're going to go see them next time.
Hey, Ralph, aren't you from Jersey?
Yeah.
There you go.
But I grew up in the Bronx, though.
Okay.
Okay. No one's going to fault you for that, Ralph.
No, Bronx is where it's at, man. The boogie down.
Yeah, exactly.
The boogie down. Kyle,
going back the other side of the Atlantic, funny document I take influence from the Scott Fish Bowl. This is the Zeppelin Scott Fish Bowl shirt. So shout out to Viridian Global. You can also get this going for two hat there as well. So more plugging, but yeah. Same actually reasoning as Doc. This could have been the first band, and I love Yes so much that I was always going to take them. But like structurally, if I was playing the board, I probably would have gone Zeppelin first, thinking Yes probably had a better chance to fall. So kind of lucky Zeppelin made it here. Could argue
I'm surprised they could have easily gotten picked.
Guitar player, bass player, right? Like John Paul Jones is a bass player, is a keyboard player, mandolin player, orchestrator, like incredible. But Jimmy Page as a producer has influenced so many people. I think the Beatles probably carry the biggest influence in terms of songwriting, but a lot of the production techniques that Jimmy Page kind of invented, created with Zeppelin, it's the way drums are recorded and some other things that they're, you know, using big spaces to get the echo and using a lot of reverse echo and a lot of like really cool special effects in the 60s. And the first couple albums came out in the 60s, but certainly in the 70s. Led Zeppelin 4, for instance, I think is a masterpiece. It's 1971, so it sneaks in there as a 70s, 80s band. They weren't active in the 80s, but I think Zeppelin has influenced so many different rock bands. I think they have to be on my list. I'm glad I got to draft them.
Huge.
I just want to say that I feel, and I could be wrong on this, that Kyle has taken a very deeper dive than I even imagined on this topic.
Well, I'm just getting started because these are those two just came to my mind right away as soon as you had this. Okay, Yes is going to be my first pick, obviously, but
and
then
now I'm really afraid. Okay,
it was after the first three or four that
I know, right?
If you're worried about that, I mean, wait till we see what Jemzy pulls out in sleeper picks in the later round.
But if it's also crazy bands you've never heard of, it means you're probably not going to take them anyway, so you won't have to worry about my picks.
Good point. That's a good point. But I mean, look, Terry. Wait, is it Terry?
Yes.
Yeah. And your pick is?
Journey.
Nice. That's a good pick.
San Francisco.
Okay. Journey.
Dee Perry.
Jamie, no one cares what your number one pick is.
Oh, wow. That's how you treat your former guests? That's brutal.
Yeah. Yes.
Guy came on here for seven rounds of rom-coms, and that's the kind of welcome he gets.
Did you hear his rom-coms? Okay.
I did. Yeah. I mean, no accounting for taste, but he was still here for seven rounds. Sorry, Jamie, no offense.
Not taking him shit. All right, Journey. All right, Ralphie.
All right, so I'm going to go Pink Floyd. Technically, they started in the late 60s, but they switched singers in like the 70s because Syd Barrett switched out with David Gilmour. And then they're most known for the 70s music. So they get
their four best albums all came out in the 70s. So yeah, exactly. That definitely counts in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jamie, you know we love you.
honestly, just to just keep commenting on Ralph, like David Gilmour is probably my second favorite guitarist behind Steve Howe.
Yep.
What a guy, master of the tone and very patient. Like we like talking, I'll talk Steelers here, Gladys, Le'Veon Bell, the patient running, like Gilmour's a very patient guitarist in terms of, you know, how long to hold the notes, not to play too many, play just enough to get just the perfect solos.
A lot more melodic, but still pretty technical.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to let like Ralph and Kyle just like have a real thing going on and like deep dive into Ralph, you play guitar, right? You guitar, right? Okay. Even though we didn't get the music that we're supposed to, but I'm not going to even mention that.
She was going to let you live it down.
And,
but she keeps plugging your music, so you'll get people to want to go look at and listen to it.
Which, like, yeah, where can we go and listen to that, Ralph?
Spotify, Apple Music. There's like
and
a third
one. Under, but it's not under your name. It's not under Ralph.
Oh, no, it's Other Robots. That's the name I put under.
Other Robots.
Yeah. All
right.
All right. So, you realize... Okay. You go again, though, Ralph.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And then I'm going to go Velvet Underground.
Woo. Oh,
nice. Nice.
City, Lou Reed. He can't really sing very well, but the songs are good.
When they had Nico, she could sing well.
Yeah. I think she had like a kid or something like that. Then she left the band or something. Then it's just him.
I'm oddly amazed by that pick, Ralph. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's New York, man.
Oh, okay, then no, not so. I don't know. That's for me, is out of left field for you, but I like it. I like it a lot. Look at you being like the Renaissance man. And
these are my mainstream picks. I haven't gotten to the deep
shit yet. Oh my God, you and Kyle are killing me.
This one, all right. One band from the summer of 1974.
Hey, Terry. Are you awake?
Okay. Hey, my neck. Yes, I am awake.
Okay.
Can you hear me? We're poor. I can't afford good internet.
Whatever.
Florida, pay your teachers better.
There you go.
I'm a little biased, but
Hall Notes.
Ooh.
Oh, they're not even on my list.
That was my favorite. The first a friend of mine in college. We tried to go. It was either food or the dessert. And we did choose.
I know one.
The food.
Yes, it did. I knew that was going.
But my husband took me like maybe 5 years ago.
To see Hall. Lewis went to see Hall & Oates.
So we went. We went to, yes, and this is how old Train was starting off for them. And I was working with another teacher who Train. I said, who? And they're starting for him. I said, oh. She goes, who's Hall & Oates?
Isn't that nice?
Oh, the young. Train played in the Philadelphia Hard Rock.
Work with.
Yeah, but I mean.
They played by our Hard Rock too.
Did they play in?
At a street party. He was like calling people up apparently to like sing along. When they sing off pitch, he would like make fun of them. He was like, what note was that? Or something like that.
You're Train. That's. That sucks. No wonder I hate their wine. All right. Kyle.
Yeah, so I was really hoping Pink Floyd would fall. Great pick, Ralph. I could go in a few spots here. I guess I'm almost trying to figure out, I'm trying to play the board a little bit and know the other guests and the co-host here, trying to figure out what is most likely to fall. I think when it just comes to musical excellence, I'm just going to go with one of the greatest musicians ever, and I'll take Prince. Because he basically is his own band. I mean, especially on the early albums, he would record every instrument. Pretty sure he at least co-produces every album as well. Very sonically inclined, but incredible vocal talent, instrumentalist, great guitar player. It's funny because we're talking 70s and 80s, but my favorite album by him is 1999. But it was released in the 80s, I believe 81.
What was his band that he was with? Was it like New Generation?
Revolution.
The Revolution. Prince on the Revolution.
The Revolution. Was Morris Day in the Revolution?
No. Shh. That's one of my bands.
Well, you're not supposed to give it away.
You just okay.
All right. So for my next pick is going to be Morris Day in the Magic Pick. Prince is a great pick.
That is a great pick. Your turn, Doc.
Okay, so I'm sure that, yeah, I actually didn't know how this was going to go. I was a little worried. I thought maybe I would get sniped, but You know, I think, you know, as you can judge by the outfit, we're going to have to get into a little bit of disco. So we got some big hitters, Too Much Heaven, You Should Be Dancing, Night Fever. And of course, you know, the opening riff from this song, Staying Alive, which defined a generation. I think it's time to get Barry Gibb's falsetto on the roster. And I'm taking the Bee Gees.
The fact that you have musical accompaniment is scary. And the fact that you're dancing like that is even more scary.
I was trying to ignore that part, to be honest, and focus solely on the comment here. Does Michael Jackson count as part of the Jackson 5 where we can't draft him?
No, it's part of the Jackson 5.
Perry already taking him, so.
Yeah. Yeah. He's taken. No, he's you taken. Can't, yeah.
He's off the board. Jamie, keep up, buddy.
So good job, Perry, apparently. You got good value on Michael Jackson.
There you go.
In the Jackson 5.
I get him early.
Okay, I'm going to... See, I didn't want to pick the time this early because I know they're gonna fall like.
You gotta take them. You put it out there.
I know. More Stay in the Time. Right. I'm gonna pick More Stay in the Time, even though I, you know, More Stay in the Time were like legit musicians, but they were also legit clowns, and that they could combine the clownery with the musicianship. Thank you very much. I love them. I love More Stay in the Time. I love them even when they were like being dicks to Prince and Purple Rain. I love them all the time. I just, everything about them, I love. So More Stay in the Time is going to be my pick because Doc forced me into it.
Well, I kind of feel like you forced yourself into it.
Tomato, tomato.
You say, do you just blame the book instead? The
book's exactly. Fault. The book's fault. It is the
buy
book
it
fault.
Anyway, though, folks. It's good.
Yeah, it's still good.
And buy Terry's book, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay, so for my next pick, I'm going to go. Wait. Bon Jovi.
Ah, Jersey.
That was mine.
That's the other one.
Yes, that was.
Every dive bar in Jersey is playing Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
What?
Any dive bar in Jersey at any given time is either playing Bon Jovi.
That's exactly it. Bon Jovi could have come off the board at any time.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
It's like, and the longevity of them, even now, they're still, like a couple of these bands aren't really great now, but Bon Jovi is still great now, I think. So I'm taking Bon Jovi. Living on a Prayer. What's that in the movie? The Billy the Kid movie. Wasn't that from Billy the Kid movie?
Oh, Young Guns.
Young Guns, yeah. So
it feels like Wanted Dead or Alive would be a more appropriate movie.
I think that was in it too.
It was in it too. Way to go, Kyle.
Amazing. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
There you go. It's perfect.
I wanted to talk about that song too.
Doc, I do believe it's your turn again.
So, you know what blows my mind about, like, thinking about Bon Jovi? Excellent pick, by the way. It's New Jersey approved. Do you guys watch the TV show Stranger Things?
I've never seen it.
You never seen it? Nobody's seen it? Okay, well, it doesn't matter. But one of the characters from that show who started out, like, in the first season was, like, 11 years old, is now, like, all grown up, and she's dating Bon Jovi's son. So when I found that out, I felt even older than I normally do on any given day. But enough about that. On to my pick. So for Kyle and Gladys, I think you'll appreciate this from, you know, we met through fantasy football and doing a fantasy football show together for, 3 years now.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into the situation where it's like you're drafting a team defense and you're like, I don't even really care who else is on the defense. I'm just drafting it for this one player. Like I'm drafting the Steelers because I want Troy Polamalu. Or I would just want J.J. Watt, and I don't care about anybody else. So with that in mind, I'm going to take the Commodores because I need Lionel Richie on my roster. And I need the whole thing. And the whole track, the whole collection. I want Lionel Richie on my roster. I don't care about any of the other Commodores. Give me all the Commodores, but I'm really just interested in Lionel Richie.
The defensive pick of the draft so far. The IDP player. I just want Lionel Richie, but I'll take everybody else that comes with him.
I'll take everybody. I'll sign them all to lifelong contracts. I'll get all the other Commodores on lifetime contracts. I just want Lionel Richie on the roster.
Kyle.
Yeah. earlier, I was given the devil horns a couple times, and yeah, the rocker metalhead came out of me. It's not all intellectual progressive rock, as much as I do love, 10-minute guitar solos. That can happen in metal too. So as part of the strategy, okay, Jackson 5, Michael Jackson, what Doc just did with Lionel Richie and the Commodores, I'm going to take Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. Because I would not only get access to Tony Iommi, who, for all intents and purposes, invented metal.
1970s when the first album came out.
Yeah, I believe it was 1970 exactly when their first album,
self-titled one, and Paranoid came out in 1970.
True, yeah, that's right. And then Masters of Reality in 1971. Like what a three amazing albums in a span of a year and a half. And these were very insane, incredible musicians. Ozzy as a vocalist, he doesn't impress with the very powerful belting or long. I'm not a singer, clearly, so I can't think of my vocal terms, but he won't Whitney Houston it, like,
Is there a term for that? He'd get laughed off of American Idol, but it fits the music he does, basically.
But Ozzy's strength to me has always been his phrasing, his rhythmic sense to his melodies, when to hold notes, when to stop them, and I think how he phrases certain, because he doesn't write a lot of the lyrics, at least, he'll write some lyrics, but Geezer Butler, the bassist, would write it, and how Ozzy would interpret the phrasing is always very interesting to me. And I think that's his biggest strength, is actually his rhythm when it comes to singing, which is an underrated part. I know there's the joke in music schools, none of the singers ever have a good sense of rhythm. They can't count. I know that's Victoria's joke all the time. But I think that was actually Ozzy's best strength as a singer. But really, I'm taking him. So A, I can get Tony Iommi, and then B, I can get Randy Rhoads on guitar, who's probably, if I had to rank guitarist, I'd probably put him at number three behind Steve Howe and Dave Gilmour. Kind of like Steve Howe, influenced by classical music, although I found Steve Howe, I felt into what he put into Yes, I always felt was more influenced by jazz, outside of the I'm playing a classical song that I composed, but outside of that I felt like the influence is stronger with the jazz. But with Randy Rhoads, you can hear it in all of his metal licks, all of his solos, the Richie Blackmore style of Renaissance medieval lute playing, that and that type of influence with those types of scales and the combining classical music into what is kind of almost standard metal techniques now. And I think Randy Rhoads is a huge influence on that. So for helping to kind of usher metal where it is now, the 80s metal, and then Tony Iommi, of course, for helping create 70s metal. So taking Black Sabbath / Ozzy Osbourne kind of gives me the best of both worlds there.
Or Brian May was on an album with them too.
Oh, awesome.
In the late 80s or something.
And then Zakk Wylde, Ozzy is just known how to also, one of his best strengths, also knowing how to surround himself with great
musicians. He knows how to draft.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, he'd do great in this.
Terry?
I think Kyle will like this one. I'm going for Santana.
Why do you think Kyle's going to like that?
Because Santana's a fantastic guitar player. I love that.
Yes.
You know me well, Kyle.
I'm pretty sure that's not what she was thinking, but it's okay. Yes,
he is a fantastic one.
Ralph?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, shoot. That's
that one. Throw some funky in there. And then after, maybe Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
Nice. They haven't been taken yet?
No. I was thinking, I was like, yeah, no. Nah.
Ooh. Two ends of the spectrum right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice.
That is nice. That is a nice pick. All right, going into the fifth round, this is what we have so far. Number one pick, Ralph. He has Queen, Pink Floyd, Velvet Underground, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Guns N' Roses.
That's solid. That's a solid roster right there.
There you go.
Terry has Jackson 5, Journey, Hall & Oates, and Santana. Ooh. Kyle has Yes, Led Zeppelin. You pick Prince?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I wrote it down. I just don't. Okay, Prince and Black Sabbath.
That's how you talked about your Morris Day and Time.
What?
That's how. Yeah, that's where that slipped. We talk about Purple Rain, right?
Ah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you know. Doc, Aerosmith, Bruce Springsteen, Bee Gees, and the Commodores.
Okay.
Me, Blondie, Sugar Hill Gang, Morris Day and Time, and Bon Jovi.
Okay.
And now, Terry, your turn.
My turn. I am going to go. Ooh, some of mine are gone. hard choice. I think I am going to go for. I think they're disco. KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, nice!
Wow! Hey. Wow! Wow. Well,
I like the music.
Very nice.
I just like to dance.
Yeah. You got a boogie shoes.
I have no artistic value, but I just like their music. I like the beat. You can dance with it. Kyle.
So yeah, I think back to the original theme. I think we saw a lot in the first round. I'll go back to that strong vocal groups, and I've taken a lot of British groups. I mean, Prince does count, but you know, Minnesota, right? And I'm a Packers fan. Like, I don't really count Minnesota. It's almost basically Canada.
Yeah, it's
South Canada. Yes. Yeah, but it's not. It'd be like the worst parts of Canada too. So yeah, gross. Vikings, yuck. But Prince is amazing. So at least Minnesota's got that. Well, unfortunately, we don't have them anymore. But had that. But yeah, I think. I think a band that probably represents a bit more of America entirely. And yes, Hotel California is an album, clearly speaking of California, but I think the influences from that band also where they come from. Don Henley, he's from New Orleans. So that kind of influenced his drumming style. The New Orleans marching drum, you know, setups in terms of jazz groups, like apparently that was kind of really big to his development early on. Glenn Fry's from Motor City, Detroit, and kind of all converging together in California. You know, Joe Walsh eventually joining the group later on. It's kind of a metaphor for California in general, just sort of like one of the big melting pots of America where everyone comes from afar to go to. And you've got all these different influences, but coming together with a common goal of great, strong vocal music. No matter who's the lead singer, you know, the backup vocals are going to be just as strong. So great catalog entirely for the Eagles. But yeah, especially once Joe Walsh joined and they could have three guitarists, I felt like Hotel California really unlocked a new sound for them. And, you know, I think almost everyone would say it's their best album. I think there's a reason for that. It's not just a cliche.
All right. Okay. The Eagles. I can live with that. Can you guys hear my dog snoring?
Yeah.
Can you? Okay, good.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Could you move the microphone closer to me so I can hear it? I would like to hear it.
No, you wouldn't. It's like, it's really, yeah, okay.
Actually, now I'm Jimmy Page crazy mind. I want to hear it. I want to record it and then reverse it. And like, I want that, like the reverse echo before it. And
okay. Anyway, Doc, your turn.
All right. So I'm going to keep the same strategy that I had in the last round. And so this group, they had some hits in their own right when they were together. Invisible Touch, Misunderstanding, Tonight. So Genesis, but they also launched not one, but two artists who went on to become megastars, Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel. And I think everybody remembers the scene from The Hangover with Mike Tyson and in the Air Tonight when he does the drums and then punches out Zach Galifianakis. But I think what might be a more underrated movie scene that's even more iconic is when John Cusack is holding up the radio in Say Anything outside of Ione Skye's bedroom and In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel is playing. So, I mean, I'm a big movie guy, so that's like kind of two iconic movie scenes, two big artists, great band. And I get made fun of for liking Phil Collins.
I love Phil Collins.
And I'm okay with that. So I'm getting Genesis on the roster and I get Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel.
Does Genesis count as a progressive rock band?
You tell me.
At first.
Especially when Gabriel's there.
Yeah.
As the leader, yeah.
Because I'm sorry. Really, I was going to let you two geek out on this. Go ahead.
I love prog rock. I love the pick doc. Prog rock for doc. Sorry, Gladys.
No, you're fine. I'm going Van Halen, David Lee Roth Van Halen.
Oh, nah, of course. That's
that one was on the list.
I actually like Sammy Hagar.
That is a good one.
I do not.
He just takes it too seriously.
Wait, which one? Did you go the David Lee Roth version or the Sammy
David
Hagar?
David Lee Roth
version. That was the one.
David Lee Roth. Of course, I say as the guitarist, it doesn't matter because it's Eddie Van Halen.
Exactly. It's Eddie Van Halen all the way, but David Lee Roth was like the showman in that. And you couldn't. It's not Van Halen without David Lee Roth.
You can
tell
the videos.
He was.
Yeah. Hot for the Teacher? Come on. That's like one of the greatest videos of all time. And
in terms of frontmen, like just like we've talked a lot about bands, but like in terms of like best frontman, like you David know, Lee Roth. The very first pick Ralph made with Queen, I think Freddie Mercury probably maybe the greatest frontman in rock. But then, you know, Michael Jackson, his stage presence with Terry's pick. But other than that, like if you were to talk a specific singular frontman, maybe Steven Tyler. From Aerosmith. I feel like he and David Lee Roth are kind of cut from the same cloth, so to speak.
No.
I think anyway.
David Lee Roth takes that one extra step, though.
Yeah, he does. David Lee goes a little bit beyond, like on the precipice of falling over the cliff. All right, my next one. Oof. See, I don't know. You guys are like... Okay, I'm going U2.
Oh,
they lasted a long time.
Like, they did. I mean,
they could have went at any point.
1976.
That's a baller right there. Like that's you got like first round value on your on your fifth round pick there.
I'm a fifth round pick, and I'm going early U2 too. I'm not really crazy about their late stuff now, but early U2 was the Joshua Tree. Is that U2? That's U2, right?
87.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sticking with it. Doc.
All right, so I was gonna save these guys, but I don't know if I could let them slip any further because you guys are making some great picks. So this group was in one of my favorite movies, PCU, which I talked about on Kyle's show. It's a very underrated movie with Jeremy Piven and Jon Favreau from the 90s. It's actually one of the first movies that my then girlfriend, now wife, watched together and kind of bonded over. It was like, oh, you like PCU? I like PCU too. And we watched it together and we were just dying laughing. And this artist and his group is in that movie and has actually a pretty decent sized part. And it's George Clinton and the P-Funk. And I don't think anybody can hear tear the roof off the sucker and not and not really just enjoy themselves. Kind of makes all your troubles melt away.
I saw George Clinton and P-Funk in Ohio at an outdoor concert, and he came out in his white wedding dress, and it was like the best thing ever. It was so perfect because the band that played before him was like, Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails played, and then George Clinton and P-Funk played.
That is
and
a pairing that I would not have thought.
Thank you. It was the greatest pairing ever.
Yeah, I was.
Sometimes that stuff works. You know,
it sounds
like it wouldn't work, but it sounds like it worked.
It was perfect. It was perfect, and George Clinton was just George Clinton.
Let's go with the most depressing music you could ever imagine, and the most happy celebratory music you can imagine. But they're both executed so well that it works.
What were you saying, Tara?
You gotta lift them back up. It's people together. Brings people together. Can you hear me?
It was an eclectic group. It was an eclectic group at that concert.
We got you now, Terry. Yeah.
We got you, Terry. Tell Lewis to like show up some more money for better internet too, man. You guys are gonna be empty nesters here soon. You can afford it. You did get a dog though, so kudos for that. All right, never mind. Don't have to tell Lewis anything. Kyle.
So,
I like it how Kyle has like such deep thought on it.
Yeah, Kyle's struggling with this. He's like,
to be fair, there are so many great bands.
Can we make it a 20-round draft?
I haven't thrown any Canadian bands in yet, so I gotta represent my country, right? So I'm gonna go with another solo artist, Neil Young. My favorite band of his is Crazy Horse, and he's recorded a lot of different albums with them. It's funny because my favorite Neil Young album doesn't have Crazy Horse on it. Harvest actually has, I think, the Steel Gators is the band he has in that one. But Neil Young, phenomenal songwriter. And I know some people don't love his voice. I maybe not the best voice, but Maybe not the most pleasant, but yeah, again, lyrically, I think he's fantastic, and I actually really like him as a guitar player as well. Kind of in, you know, a few decades, or yeah, a couple, yeah, 20 years before the fact, he really kind of invented grunge in a sense, and saw a lot of that sort of Neil Young style in the 90s, and his influence really strong there. But yeah, so an avant-garde before his time, man. I love it. Neil Young, the Canadian.
Tell me a Neil Young song that I would know.
Well, thinking of Harvest, Heart of Gold, and Old Man. Those would have been the big hits there.
Don't know those two, but I do know Rockin' in the Free
Cinnamon
World.
Cinnamon Girl.
Cinnamon concert where, like...
Yeah,
okay. That's Neil Young?
Yeah. That seemed like it's kind of older, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that video. I think that album is technically like 69.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But Harvest like came out in 72, and that's my favorite album of his. And
all right, I know this.
Rockin' in the Free World, I think, is like 89. It's kind of right on that cusp of when grunge came out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he still alive?
Yeah. The other guy died. David Crosby. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They worked together in the same band.
How did you know that's what I was thinking of? That's really weird.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? Kind of
God, no. I wasn't anywhere near there.
Oh.
That's like you're in a different continent than I am right now. Like,
well, no, they're all North America, though.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're in the same continent, sort of. Terry.
I'm going to go with War.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow.
From 1969. They did Low Rider.
Wait, Friends, 70s and 80s, Terry.
Cisco Kids.
They are 70s.
75.
Well, they formed in 69, right?
Yeah, they formed in the 70s.
But they
and 80s.
Got popular in 79.
All right. On a technicality, you would get that.
I would say most of the bands that are active in the 70s probably formed in the 60s, right? They had to hone their craft before they started recording albums.
They just didn't get big.
No, I like how Gladys sent the thing out before the show where she said we're going to be really liberal with like the pick.
Yeah.
She tries to get her sister on a technicality in like the sixth
technicality.
Round.
Technicality. In the sixth round, right. That's right, Terry. Throwing War out there. Whatever.
That's a good idea.
Apparently, it is war now between
the yeah, no kidding. Sibling war.
Yeah.
It's not, that wouldn't even be a battle. Just shock. Ralphie, next to last pick.
All right. So I know there's still a lot of like more famous bands out there. So I'm going to go like more influential. So I'm going to start with Supertramp.
Okay.
They're like, my mom's favorite band, so she would have been like, they fell. They fell way too far. You're all crazy.
They had that one song, a gym class series, where like they sampled it or whatever.
They what?
In America. Take a look at my girlfriend.
That's Supertramp?
Yeah, that the original one's done that. You also do Give a Little Bit. Give a little bit. Give a little bit of... The Logical song. A lot of cool songs. But yeah, them. And then the second one, keeping that trend, I'm going to go Curtis Blow.
Ooh. I like Curtis Blow.
Yeah.
It wasn't on my list, but I like Curtis Blow.
Nice.
Ralphie has a very eclectic little thing going on here. Queen, Pink Floyd, Velvet Underground, Earth, Wind & Fire, Guns N' Roses, Supertramp, and Curtis Blow.
I like it.
Are you going to stick? Now that you have your seven picks, are you going to stick with Queen as your 1A? Like they would be your starter?
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Mercury?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And who are you putting on the bench out of all those?
Supertramp.
Really? Not Curtis Blow? Okay.
Yeah.
The bench and Supertramp. Guns N' Roses starting, Earth, Wind & Fire. I like it. All right.
Because Curtis Blow has the hip hop element, so you know?
True that. Terry, last pick. Who you got?
I know. I know. What number is it again?
It's your last pick. You get
lucky
an on.
Number,
there will be an honorable
seven,
mention. There will be an honorable mention, but this is your last pick on your bench. This is your last pick for your team. Solidified.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with, okay, I know. Okay. I am going to go with ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra.
They're UK.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
And Don't Bring Me Down, you know, Last Train.
Yeah. That's a solid pick. Actually, a surprise pick for Terry. Way to go.
Thank you,
little girl. You're welcome. Lewis picked it. Your husband picked it. Okay. That technicality I'm taking back. taking the technicality back. All right, Kyle, last bench player.
So just trying to think of, like, you know, what genres I've had represented. Obviously, I've talked about prog rock so much. You know, just hard rock with Zeppelin, metal with Black Sabbath, sort of the, you know, country rock with the Eagles. I guess even Neil Young could almost count in that sense. Prince, who just takes a bunch of genres together, kind of makes it his own sound. And that's sort of similar to this band too. I went with the band that I would probably classify as the best punk rock band ever, but they also, you know, the 90s punk rock, which a lot of it's influenced by ska, they are already kind of doing that in the 70s and 80s anyway, influenced by reggae a lot. And I know after the band broke up, the lead singer, Paul Simon, he went on and did some other, like, really.
Oh, wait, what? I was thought you were going to do it a different way. I'm sorry.
Me too.
And that's Paul Simon and Paul Simon. That's my wrong name. But anyway, the band I'm choosing is The Clash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Sorry, I mispronounced his name. Yeah, it's not Paul Simon. Not Simon and Garfunkel. I just found, The Clash was such a, again, I think the best punk rock band ever, if not one of the most influential, because of how their influence kept going as punk rock kept changing. There were some things that they were already doing in their music anyway, so. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Scampers. Nice to see you. Nice to have good a little kitten coming in.
Good to see Mr. Perfect. Scampers in the audience.
What kind of music the cat listens to?
Cats listen to probably like heavy metal punk rock. I'm pretty sure that's what they listen to. All right, Doc. Last bench player.
Yeah, so this is my final pick. So you guys know, like, when you're doing a draft, like, sometimes you get towards the end and you have that homer pick or the sentimental pick. So this is a group that was based in London in the mid-80s, and some people would say they were kind of a one-hit wonder. I don't know if that's really appropriate, but their main hit song, Your Love, by The Outfield, is the group. And here's the story. Back in, I don't know when it was, maybe the early 2000s, I was at one of my best friend's bachelor parties, and it was a group of us, and it was relatively early in the day, and we may or may not have had a few drinks at this point. Spoiler alert, we did. and it's still pretty early, and so Your Love comes on, and we're sitting in an outdoor cafe, and this is not like a bar or anything else. This is like an outdoor restaurant. There's families eating dinner around. And for whatever reason, we all just start singing along to Your Love at the top of our lungs with percussion and air guitar, everything, the whole thing. We're all five or six of us are just into it. And so we finish and we're all really proud of ourselves. Like, this sounded amazing. And at that point, one of the other patrons just kind of calmly walks over to our table and says, "Hey, are you guys all professional singers?" And we all looked around and we looked back at him and just said, "No." And he looked at us and with a straight face, he said, "Yeah, I didn't think so." And, and we just had to just sit there and eat it and just be completely owned by this guy. And nobody said a word. It was just like pin drop, like no smart comeback, no tough Jersey guy attitude. Just like, we just ate the L. And it's still one of my favorite memories to this day with my friends. So
can you tell me some of the lyrics to the song? I don't know the song.
Can you sing them?
I mean, I could try.
Okay.
I don't want to lose your love tonight. Oh. So there you go. Now it's like we're back in Fort Lauderdale, 2004.
Okay. And that's The Outfield?
That is The Outfield.
The Outfield.
Appropriate sports name on a you know, there sort you of go. Sports
you
channel.
You guys know how big of a baseball fan I am. So that should tell you something right there.
All right. My last one. I'm going to go with Belle Biv DeVoe.
Hmm.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because what?
So, because Gladys, are you poison? You don't have to answer that.
I refuse to answer that on the grounds that I cannot tell
you
a lie.
You may incriminate yourself.
I may incriminate myself in self-incrimination. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what that reference means. So 1989, Belle Biv DeVoe is my final to solidify my team. Ralphie D. I'm sorry. What was the name? What? Tell me the name again. Where your music is? Your name?
Other robots.
Mm-hmm. Other robots, Ralphie, who is your honorable mention?
Oof, Cool in the Gang.
Oh, I thought Cool in the Gang was taken.
No, I said Earth, Wind & Fire earlier.
Yeah, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Casey, not Casey cool and the
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
I had them, though.
Terry, honorable mention.
The Police. Ooh, that nice. Way I get stayed. Nice. I'm doing old.
Actually, I was going the punk rock reggae influence. That would have almost been just as appropriate as The Clash, to be honest.
Plus, he was in your favorite show, so yeah. Only Murders in the Building. Yeah. Answer, keep it that way.
Yeah, it was plenty devastating as it was, Mr. Stamper. That also would have been devastating.
I've heard that one before, too. Yes.
Crushing. Bone crushing. Kyle, your honorable mention.
And I've got like three or four, honestly.
why is I not surprised? Go ahead.
I'm going to go three. I'm going to go with the guy that someone who's in this band that I mentioned earlier. I was talking about Randy Rhoads and his guitar style, and kind of influenced not just by classical music, but from a rock sense, he was influenced a bit by Ritchie Blackmore from the band Deep Purple. And that was another band that, you know, tried to draw influence from classical music, whether it was Ritchie or the keyboardist John Lord. But then, I can't remember the bass player's name, but he was more of a punk rocker and kind of brought that influence to them, even though, you know, early, you know, late 60s, early 70s, punk rock isn't really a thing. So, kind of a fusion of a few different influences and kind of creates hard rock as we know it. I've kind of got those three, like, you know, early 70s hard rock bands that really laid the foundation: Zeppelin, Sabbath, and Deep Purple. So I'll may as well have all three here.
Okay. Doc.
All right. I didn't know how this was going to go. So I'm kind of surprised that these guys are still there. Technically they were formed in the late 60s, but they were really popular in the 70s or 80s. So I'm going to take them. And my favorite album, Rumors, came out in 1977. Oh. So, you know, The Chain, You Make Love and Fun, Go Your Own Way. And as you guys know, we talk about on the injury show or the Monday Night Show, where I talk about injuries and how player injury news and the media, sometimes they're kind of disingenuous with us. So tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. And that's kind of what they do and try to mislead us with player injuries every week. So I'm going to go with Fleetwood Mac as my honorable mention.
And if you think of the classic lineup of Fleetwood Mac,
very different.
Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, John McVie, and Mick Fleetwood, of course, drums. Like that part of the group, that was 70s and 80s all the way. Like that's like what, like 74 to 87, something like that, where that like classic lineup existed. So, which is where I think all the songs you mentioned come from that iteration of the group. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is it Peter Green? I think the original singer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. It feels like a much different band than what he had initially than what later.
Much more bluesy.
Yeah.
My honorable mention is only for one song. One song, Jodeci, for the song Lately, because that is my all-time favorite song.
Okay.
Ever. Jackie and I were jamming out to it before the show. Although it's not a jamming out song. But still, we were jamming out to it. So Jodeci, what? It's a great song.
It's a great song.
Yeah, I mean, he like sings his heart out. He's hurting. Bad. He is. Anyway, that is my honorable mention for the night. That is the Phil Collins drum solo that I just did. You're welcome, Doc.
I think you did it really good. You did a better job than Mike Tyson did.
Thank you. I've never seen The Hangover, so
it didn't hurt nobody.
Yeah,
it's funny because Doc almost looks like he's from The Hangover right now with those glasses. Well, actually, right. Speaking of
Gladys, you didn't lose to Buster Douglas either, so you got that going for you. So
there you go. Thank you.
Gladys, give us the full roster for everybody, because I want the folks out there in the comments. Who do you like? Who did the best? What team do you want to take over? if you could. You're bringing it back the old Dynasty Gambit style.
Yes. But wait, was Kyle, were you going to say something?
Do this first. I got a question for Doc after. We can address that after.
Ralph, pick number who had the first pick in the 1980s mock draft picked Queen, followed up by Pink Floyd, followed up by the Velvet Underground, then Earth, Wind, and Fire, then came in strong with Guns N' Roses, then Supertramp, then threw a left field with Curtis Blow, and then went cool in the game for his honorable mention. Decent, Ralph.
That's
decent.
A solid roster.
That is a solid roster. Yeah. I'm very proud of you. You're welcome.
Brian.
It's by taking the big bucks.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys getting paid?
What? They're not giving you money? Terry, TV, first pick, Jackson 5, followed up by Journey, followed up by Hall & Oates, followed up by Santana. I love Santana. Followed up by Casey and the Sunshine Band, which, okay. Followed up by War. And then out of friggin' left field, which we later found out was her husband's pick, ELO. And then her honorable mention is The Police, which she kind of like come back on. The Police is a decent pick because you get Sting in that.
Yeah. And I feel like The Police is going to make it into the starting lineup there by the end of the year.
Exactly. I think so. Kyle and so Kyle's all deep thought. Like Kyle's are all like, gravitas. There's a lot of gravitas.
Yes.
Was his first pick. Led Zeppelin, followed by Prince, followed by Black Sabbath, followed by the Eagles, followed by Crazy Horse, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, followed by the Clash, and then Deep Purple, honorable mention. Gravitas, Kyle. Gravitas. I expect nothing less from you. And then our disco man, who kindly enough actually danced for us. There we go. Doc, first pick, Aerosmith. Bruce Springsteen, second pick. Bee Gees, third pick. The Commodores, fourth pick. Genesis and Phil Collins, fifth pick. George Clinton and P-Funk. The Outfield for one song. And Fleetwood Mac. I feel that Fleetwood Mac might make it into your starting lineup.
You're probably right.
But I still, like, I feel that that's almost the most eclectic one. Like, you went like a little bit of everywhere, like especially when you throw in the Bee Gees, because
I had to throw the Outfield in there to be able to tell that story. And I think I said 2004. I'm not that old. It was 2012 or 2013.
None of us are doing math anyway.
God. No one said there'd be math in this. All right. And my first pick, Blondie, then Sugar Hill Gang, then More Stay in the Time, then Bon Jovi, then Van Halen, David Lee Roth version of Van Halen, then U2, then Bell Biv DeVoe, and then Jodeci for only the song Lately. I don't really like any other Jodeci songs.
Really?
Yeah. Really. Who said that? Is that Ralph?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh,
that
was Ralph. Yeah. I'm not really crazy about Jodeci
songs. Is that the other song?
Ralph's very judgmental today.
I know, right? Like, what is happening? Are you judging me again?
As I adjust my orthopedic pillow and...
Well, it's funny because that's going to make my next question very hilarious. Because Doc, it's because honestly, the Raiders, they've had Derek Carr, so it's been no competition. But now that they have Garoppolo, what does it feel like to have a man that's almost as handsome as you as your team quarterback?
Almost.
I know we've been talking about this for a couple of years. Like, I think I'm one of the few remaining Jimmy G apologists left. I mean, Jeff abandoned him long ago, even though he was still on, San Francisco. And it's like, I don't know. I kind of find my way towards these pretty boy quarterbacks. Cause a couple of years ago I was the Jared Goff apologist and that seemed like it worked out. Okay. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that maybe the Jimmy G thing will work out for the Raiders as well, but I guess we'll find out.
Is Jared Goff pretty?
According to Gladys, he is. Didn't you call him a dreamboat on one of the Monday night shows?
I don't remember that.
I think we need to go back and we need to check the tapes on those because I remember pretty clearly.
Jared Goff?
Jared Goff.
A dreamboat? No, I don't.
Well, if you want to find out, folks, go check the Going For Two archives.
Go back to the archives. The Monday night 2-point conversion, and in there somewhere true. you will find Gladys swooning over Jared Goff.
So we have Jared Goff. Jared
Goff this year.
Jared Goff, Jordan Love for Kyle, and Danny Dimes for Ralph, and yeah. Kenny Pickett for me. So if and Terry just like she's in Tampa, so. She can take whoever. Are you moving again? She can take what are you doing?
The ghost of Tom Brady or Kyle Trask. Your choice.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, that's right. Baker Mayfield's there. So if we are doing like, you know, if we are awarding points, Jimmy G wins hands down. Wow, yeah. Jordan Love's a close second. Danny Dimes may be a close third.
Kenny he looks like from Evil Dead. What's his name?
Who looks like
Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, that's who Daniel Jones looks like in Evil Dead 1 when he's like young and shit. That's exactly
who?
What it
looks like. Who looks like that?
Daniel Jones looks like young Bruce Campbell.
Huh, you think? He does.
Yeah,
A little bit. I see it. I definitely see
first
it.
First Evil Dead, he has a chainsaw hand. Yeah.
He might run faster than Bruce Campbell, honestly.
Yeah.
until he gets like to the 10-yard line. Then he trips.
He's and, got you know.
I mean, I'll be honest. If Jordan Love can do what Daniel Jones did last year and lead a team to the playoffs, I'd be super stoked for that. At this point, I would not be putting Jordan Love ahead of Daniel Jones.
No. We were going strictly by looks. That's what I was.
Oh, looks. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jordan Love is much more handsome than Daniel Jones.
He trips like he's in a horror movie too. Oh, Mr. Scampers. The cat's
that was,
coming out.
That's what wow. It was. It was like the Evil Dead hand is what tripped him up. That was the turf monster that tripped him on the 10-yard line.
That's what that field's made of. Man.
Yeah.
Giants and Jets really need to figure their stuff out. What is happening in New Jersey?
Jimmy Hoffa reached up and grabbed him and tripped him.
All right. I think we're losing Terry. She's going to go to
humor
bed.
For you folks.
Terry's done.
Well, yeah, Terry soldiered through.
Yeah, Terry,
so we appreciate it.
She did soldier through. Thanks, Terry.
That's awesome. Thank you for soldiering through, Terry.
If I get sick now, though, I'm going to blame it on you. You know that. All right. Get some sleep. Bye.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Bye.
I want to thank everyone who watched. Bye. Everyone who watched, everyone who made comments. If you made comments on Twitter and I didn't see them, I am deeply apologetic, but I did tell you at the beginning we could do it. So
we're apologetic, but also you were warned, you know.
You were forewarned.
So take some ownership for your life choices.
Exactly. Mr. Scampers late, but we appreciate you and the cat. And Jamie, you know, we love you, even though you say really crazy things. Jesse Patterson was manager at the Hard Rock Cafe. She is now on to bigger and better things. She's a free agent. Jesse Patterson, thank you for dropping in. And Jay, my partner on Monday, thank you so much for stopping by. You guys let us know who you think won the mock draft. And the next one will be anybody who's a sneakerhead, hit me up because I know I'm lost. I know Terry's going to be lost. We are going to be mock drafting Jordans.
Ooh, yep. That'll be a fun one.
Will it?
Come on. For people that are into that sort of thing.
Right. You know. I didn't know he had more than one pair of shoes.
This is how the mock draft is going to go. Because, yeah, apparently he has like a ton of them. So you guys.
Well, you got 2 weeks to research. So.
Yeah. You know what? I think Ben Affleck and Matt Damon should come on since they did the Air movie with, isn't that, that's George? Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Come on, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, if you're watching. Yeah, come join.
No, I would, Ben Affleck. Shh. We want that. We want Ben Affleck. We don't want Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, I'm very aware of what's going on here.
All right, you guys. Thank you guys for the mock draft. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate you for joining us in your lovely attire. Like, I would expect nothing less from you. Kyle, always a pleasure. Always well-researched. Always knows everything about everything. God, I just want your brain for, like, five seconds. Because otherwise, I think my head would explode.
Like
all that information. Scary. All that information, I would just be like, ugh. And Ralphie, thank you for picking the topic and for coming on. And one more time, where Ralphie is a musician, people, go to YouTube and what other places?
Apple Music and what's the other one? Spotify.
And
yeah, probably. And where else streams? Tidal, I think.
Other robots?
Yeah,
other robots.
Other robots. And if you haven't bought Doc's book, you get it before the season starts, all right? So you can, like, be up on these injuries, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy. You're going to need to know who you're going to have to play. Get Doc's book, Terry's book. Come out and play. If you have kids, don't feel
Purdy. Even if you don't. We all want to be young at heart. So
exactly.
You don't need to have kids in order
to need enjoy, kids. Not Purdy.
Enjoy that book. I'm going to get a copy for myself, and I don't have any kids.
And he's a doctor. Come on. The doctor says so.
Right.
All right, you guys. I love you all. I thank you all. Till next
Thank you.
Next time. Au revoir. Adios.